You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Save her, let her believe it, get on her knees and pray her, then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good, and it's so hard to do right, when you do wrong, when it turn right, but you turn all the way, lele.
Hensha, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Honor. Honor is such a precious thing. You know, humility comes before honor. And in our culture today, we don't always show honor. And yet, for Indigenous people, respect is one of our sacred virtues. We show honor to our elders, honor to our children, the seventh generation. Historically, they were never beaten or struck because we had so much respect for children as sacred beings. Honor to one another, respect to one another, honor to our warriors. Oh, we are so much grateful for our warriors. This is the month in which we honor veterans. We even have a special day, but really our warriors, our hunters, our first responders, we should be honoring them every day because they put their lives on the line to take care of us. We honor our parents and our grandparents. We honor our ancestors, and we honor our legacy and descendants as well. Historically, every decision that we made was made with the seventh generation in mind. And so we show honor to our descendants, because that is our whole reason for being here, is so they will one day be here. And so today, we're going to spend some time honoring, just showing honor. A great way to show honor is to be thankful. Simply thank you. And thank you is not just words, not for us in our culture. Thank you can be a giveaway where we share what we have with others. Thank you can be gifts. Thank you can be tokens of honor. Thank you can be prayers. Pray for our troops and veterans, their families. You know, we're a family with a huge military identity, and somebody's always in harm's way. Someone's waiting for someone else to come back. We have to pray for our troops and veterans and their families. Pray for our first responders and their families. Pray for our children. That's a great way to honor the seventh generation. You know, before my children were even born, I prayed for their spouses, their future wives, the families they come from. Pray for their teachers, the students. If you're homeschooling, oh, we pray. Homeschool parents pray all the time. And we are absolutely, absolutely privileged to show honor to our children by providing for them, making sure they have what they need, even if we go without. You know, I don't really know a mother that isn't always making sacrifices for their children. Take care of our elders. Grandmas and the grandpas, make sure, you know, check on them, visit with them, help them, clean their yard, bring them something to eat, spend time with them, call them, text them. Make sure they're included. You know, an elder was telling me the other day that she didn't have recent pictures of her grandchildren. And in this age when it's digital, so easy, I mean, you can even use an app that will print out the pictures and mail them to them. And she said she felt like a fringe grandma. Well, honor says send pictures, call, send art. Honor our teachers, our homeschool co-op leaders, our friends that are homeschooling, teachers in school. What can you do to help them? Pray for them. What can you bring them that will help them? Right? Let's show honor. Let's respect one another. And I'll start by saying that it's the most wonderful time of the year. Oh my goodness, I had to restrain myself from not saying that first. Y'all know I love Christmas and the holiday season, but I also love Indigenous Peoples Day and Native American Heritage Month, which around here is every day and every month. But it's a chance to share our culture, our traditions with other people. It's a chance to build relationships with allies, right? It's a chance to help those who are reconnecting. People who have heritage or think they do or are seeing themselves as allies to people who are Indigenous, this is a chance for us to celebrate with them, right? The secret things belong to God, but those things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. And that's a way that I look at our Indigenous culture, that there are many things that are sacred to us and they are for us. But Native American Heritage Month is a chance for us to show the things that we can share, right? Like everybody's welcome at a powwow. Maybe not a stomp dance, but at a powwow. And so there's a wonderful opportunity for children, especially, to learn about our culture and grow up to be allies by thinking of us as friends their whole lives. There are wonderful opportunities for people who maybe don't know much about us to learn about us. But most of all, Native American Heritage Month gives us a focused opportunity to think about our culture in the midst of everything else going on and how wild and, wow, what a ride these headlines are these days. But we get to pause and celebrate us, celebrate ourselves, during this Native American Heritage Month. And so it's wonderful. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I love it because we also just get to enjoy our culture. You know, it doesn't have to be a time of lectures and lessons, but it can be a time when we wear our regalia, right? It can be a time when we enjoy ourselves. Let's do it. Let's just have a wonderful Native American Heritage Month. Our nonprofit, Wells of Victory, is absolutely dedicated to empowering Indigenous people through our culture, through our traditions, through our ways. There's been some wonderful research done on what reclaiming culture does for people in recovery from addictions, for what it does for mental health issues, but most of all, what it does for our spirits, for our spirituality. In a world that literally made laws and had armies who were dedicated to eradicating us, we get to say, no, we're still here. And we still have our languages, and we still have our cultures and our dances and our songs. We still have our good ways that we are so excited to always share, you know? Coming up is an event called Guardians of the Sacred, and it's ancestral teachings for global awakening. And that is really important because this is a time when we really do need our teachings. We really do need our good words. But it's also a chance to honor our elders, those who keep the sacred in all four directions. And our nonprofit has the honor of being one of the co-sponsors of that through energy exchange. And so I wanted to share it with all of you. And yes, we're going to talk more about honor because honor is so important, especially in our families, especially with our children. You know, we know we should honor the elders, but remember to honor our children. You know, someone asked me if there were some practical ways to honor our children. And I said, yes, obviously feed them, clothe them. Right? And there's nothing wrong with the free cycle economy and gardening. And I mean, you can get creative about how to do that in this economy. But make sure they have enough. Make sure they have up-to-date vaccines. Brush their teeth. Clean their ears. Bathe them regularly. Keep their clothes clean. Give them a space that's all their own. I mean, even if you're in a small space, a tiny home or apartment, this is your corner. This is your bookshelf. This is your chair. Listen to them. Be present with them. Get off the phone and really listen. Do things outdoors. Nature. Oh, nature. The best teacher there is. But most of all, give them a strong spirit. See what I did there? I took us right back to Guardians of the Sacred, because we strengthen our spirit, not just so we can sit around the house and feel really good or pray for just ourselves. We strengthen our spirit so that then we can strengthen the spirits of our children and grandchildren. See, the teachings we learn at something like Guardians of the Sacred, this amazing gathering, right? Ancestral teachings for global awakening. They're bringing together the elders of Mother Earth, right? Just plain old Earth. The Andes and New Zealand, Africa. Right here in Turtle Island. The reservations. It's a time to walk in unity, because unity is our strength. Arvo Looking Horse said that, you know, in times like these, we have to return to our spirituality, to the sacred things. From whatever your tradition is, you do not have to appropriate. You have a culture. There's no country called white. So if you're not native, if you're not indigenous, well, people always say Africa, but Africa's a huge continent with many countries and beautiful wisdom and diverse thoughts. You have a place. You have a path. And a gathering like this helps you to listen really deeply and remember that we're all related and walk in a way, you know, praying with other people, learning from other people who are also on a spiritual path. In times like these, you do have to turn to spiritual paths, because that's the only way, as Arvo Looking Horse said, we're going to make it through. This is a time to be a person of prayer. This is a time to honor God. You know, we are so thankful for Jesus. And we are people who love Jesus, and he is our Savior. And we also walk in our traditions and our culture as well. As Quincy Goodstar said one time, it's not how you pray, it's who you pray to. But this is a time. Maybe you were on a spiritual path and you sort of just veered off and got distracted. That's easy to do. Come on back around. Maybe you never had a spiritual path. Maybe you were one of those people that was kind of like, oh, yeah, nobody ever, they said, ah, you'll find your way when you grow up, or nobody ever took you to church, or you don't know your ceremonies or your ways. This is a chance to do that. But even if you're not part of Guardians of the Sacred, you can be part of this wonderful, wonderful world in spiritual ways. God has a path for you. He has a good plan for your life. And it's time to walk in it. I mean, if not now, then when, right? Right? And so Guardians of the Sacred is bringing together some of the most powerful, powerful prayer warriors in the earth. I'm thinking about the 13 grandmothers. Oh, my goodness. There's so many more now. But the grandmothers who started praying for all of us and loving all of us and bringing us together. This is wonderful. This is just wonderful. We are so thankful for you who listen, who support, who donate. And we are thankful for the people that pray. And so if you're looking for a way to encourage your heart in prayer, if you're looking for a way to really walk together in prayer, Guardians of the Sacred is a good way to do that. If you want to find out more, Guardians of the Sacred is on Facebook, and you can look it up, and it's there. I mean, we're all, like, attached to our phones, right? A social prosthetic. We're cyborgs. Let's use them in a good way. Right? I mean, this event was born from a prayer to bring people together in unity and nations and traditions and honor the ancestors. There's that word, honor. and keep their wisdom alive. Take it into ourselves, learn from one another, and then guess what we get to do with that? Teach it to our children. Teach it to our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, our community. It's time. It's time, my love. It's time. So if you're interested in coming, oh, we would love it. We would love it, love it, love it, if you would. We do everything virtually at our nonprofit. There's a live stream, and all the speakers and events will be on live stream, and so you can interact with it in that good way, safely. Or you can go in person, right? It's in Santa Fe, Buffalo Thunder, and it's November 14th through the 16th, 2025. And there will be so many beautiful people there for you to meet and to know and to learn from, most of all. www.guardiansofthesacred.earth. That's how you will find out on the website more about this and register for it. And we'd love to see you there. Now, we're talking about honoring Indigenous people this month. There are so many ways to do that, but our nonprofit is seeing an amazing amount of suffering right now. And our mission is cultural survival and cultural preservation. That's what we do. So we are really not a food pantry. We're really not a clothing closet. But part of cultural survival is helping the people to survive. So the blessing boxes and clothing giveaways and meeting needs have been something that we've had to, we've always done it with Parson of the Hills and Christmas and Thanksgiving. We've always shared at those particular times, back to school, backpacks and school supplies. We've done those kind of things. But then Hurricane Helene, Tropical Storm Chantal, Hurricane Erin, I mean, we've just had a really graphic time in the Southeast tribes. So we've had to put some things on hold and really help with material mutual aid. You can do that too. Clean your closet. Clean your pantry. Right? Throw a couple of loads of laundry in and fold them and share them. We all have something to give. A woman was telling me the other day that she had lots of her children's toys and her children are college age. And I said, well, will you clean them up? Give them to a grandparent that's raising their grandchildren. Give them to a single mom. Give them to a family. Give them to a daycare, right? They're really struggling. Go through your home. What you consider trash is the answer to somebody's prayers. Now, don't give anything broken or garbage. But what you have right now in your home that you don't use, right? You know you're not going to dye it and get back into those clothes. Go ahead and share them with somebody who needs them right now. Break the myth of scarcity. Well, I'm just going to hold on to these because I might need them someday. Will you really? Will you? Who needs help right now? Mutual aid. How can we come to one another's rescue and help one another? How can we share with one another? How can we tell one another we love you? Yes, words are good. We like words. But really and truly, at this point, mutual aid is a great way to honor one another. I'm going to honor you by making sure you have enough clothing and enough food and that you have enough toys and games. And I can't say toys and games enough because those are things that go. Like, everybody's going to keep their children fed. They're going to keep their children clothed. But they might not be able to buy toys. And I'm not even talking about expensive toys. I'm saying when you clean your closet, what do your children no longer need? What can you share? What do you have two of? The other day somebody told me they had two nativity sets. And I said, it sounds like you've got one more than you need. And they laughed. And they offered the other one for free to a family who might just like to have one to help them celebrate the holidays, Christmas trees, things like that. Because in a survival economy, one of the things that happens is people have to sacrifice experiences. That's why nature is so important. Go outside. Nature has all these things for free. Life lessons. kids and homeschool lessons and fun. I mean, raking leaves and jumping in them is a lot of fun. And your children will remember that. I do. I remember my father raking leaves for us to jump in, even though it meant more work for him. And I remember that just as much as I remember when I finally got to go to Disney World. And so think about that, experiences too. What the libraries, oh, how wonderful they are. Support the things in your area that provide experiences for people, you know? You have a few dollars, donate them to your local nonprofits. We are doing the best we can, but our grant funding has been cut, our money has been cut, and I would absolutely love it. You know, you're already on your phone checking out Guardians of the Sacred, right? That's guardiansofthesacred.earth. So you're already doing that. And now you can use your phone to go over to PayPal and send us a donation at wellsofvictory@protonmail.com. You know, everything we get, we use. We put it into the lives of people. You know, we are not hoarders. We don't, you know, no, we're not trying to prosper ourselves or profit ourselves. We have donations and we use them to serve. But your local nonprofits, especially those that make experiences for free for people, there's no such thing as free. So when you see a nonprofit trying to do something, the other day I saw one and they were having a trunk or treat, donate something. I mean, they were, donate something to people who serve other people, homeless shelters and food pantries. Mutual aid is so important. How are your neighbors doing? The people who really live right near you, the people who are part of your world, honor them. Right? If you have more, then share. And everybody has more, because I really do believe that God does not leave anybody without something that shows the world how much he loves them. And so even if it's that your voice, that you're able to call some elders in your family and have a pleasant visit with them on the phone, maybe you don't have money to give to other people, but maybe you could help them with their rake their leaves, or, you know, maybe you can clean out your pantry and share. Maybe if you have prosperity, you can buy enough to share intentionally. Clean that closet. Those shoes you never wear, somebody needs them right now. And that is a great way to show honor to God for his mercy and kindness to us, for his love to us, for his grace to us. I don't believe you have to do one thing. I believe that grace is the gospel. So I don't believe you have to do one thing to earn God's love or make him bless you or anything like that, because that's what he does. That's just who he is. He's predisposed to show grace and favor. His eyes are looking to and fro over the earth, right? I mean, he's that's just who he is. He has an open hand. But I do believe that we can honor our love for God and our walk with the Creator by loving the things that he loves the most, which is people. Pet food, pet toys. This is a time when a lot of people are having a hard time with that. If you can share, you know, your neighbor has dogs. Maybe you can buy an extra bag of dog food. I don't know. Because it's God that's going to give you the creative ideas that solve the need around you. Right? I mean, what we might need on the reservation might be different than what you need if you live in a large apartment building. I know a woman who's homebound. She has long COVID, and she's not able to do a whole lot. But what she does do is checks on her neighbors. She lives in an apartment building where many of the people are elderly and also homebound, and so she calls and talks to them for a few minutes every day. There's one woman that they watch a TV program together every week, and, you know, they literally are on the phone, both of them watching the same show, talking to each other about it. And she said in return, she's amazed at how much her neighbors look out for her. You know, they bring her spaghetti and meatballs, and they bring up her, you know, they're willing to take her trash out for her. And just everybody's trying the very best they can, wherever they are. And I think that's a really important thing to teach our children and grandchildren. Teach them to have boundaries, because we don't want them to get harmed or hurt in life. So you don't have to give to everybody. You're not anointed for everybody. Everyone who smiles at you is not your friend. But there will be people with whom they have connections. sacred string between your heart and theirs. You know, in my life as a child, my great aunt Gussie, she was my great grandfather's sister, and she had never had any children, and she was a widow. And one year, my great grandparents brought her to Christmas dinner, and we had so much fun talking with her. We were little kids, and we liked her so much, and she was so much fun. And from that moment on, it was a special relationship. Even in grad school, I would go by her house between classes, and I would talk to her on the phone. And, I mean, I would just make sure that she was included in my circle. And she told me at the end of her life that she was so sad. Her husband was blind, and they didn't have any children. And he died, and she was a widow for many years. And she said, oh, I was so lonely, and I was so sad. And then she smiled very brightly, and she said, then God brought me you. Who is God? Who is the Creator bringing you today? How can you honor the Creator and the sacred by looking at who He's bringing into your path that you can help, that you can bless? We knew a family that lived very close to the great aunt I just told you about. And the woman was home. Her husband worked, and then they retired, and then they were just home pretty much. And she noticed that the children after school had a long time between after school and dinner, supper. And so she started making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And when the kids would get off the bus, she would be out on the porch and she'd say, anybody want a sandwich? Loaves of bread, peanut butter and jelly. And those children would run, she said. But the most interesting thing was this. They would get their sandwich, and they would want to tell her about their day. And so she and her husband would sit out on the porch. Sometimes it'd be cold weather, and they'd have their coat on. And they would listen to the children for a few minutes while they ate their sandwich, tell them about their day, because their parents weren't there to greet them. And then they would go on home to their houses, or go play, or something like that. So who can you honor today, and how? One of the wonderful things I believe about God is that He's not unjust. And so when you decide you want to honor and help other people, one of the great things that He does is He gives you exactly what you need in order to do that. People say to me, oh, if I had $1 million, I'd start a nonprofit, I'd start a foundation. We've never had $1 million. And everything our nonprofit does is basically a miracle, an act of love. God provides, and we share. You can too. And that's a great way to honor Native American Heritage Month and honor our troops and veterans this month too. When we come back from the break, oh, we have a treat for you. Our elder in residence, Judge Grady Pettigrew, known as Papa Judge, who gives so much wisdom to so many young people. You know, he spends time with them, he talks to them, he listens to them. He's an absolutely vital part of our micro school, our virtual micro school, homeschool, which is Indigenous Inspiration Academy. And he's going to share some wisdom with you about our veterans and our troops. We are so much always wanting to honor them, and he will help us do that when we come back.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcasts for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage. Scroll down to Featured Podcast. Click on Play. Or click on subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come. Another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
We are strong and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Presenting Great Moments in the History of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy. Presenting Great Moments in the History of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
I'm glad to be with you today. I am Grady Pettigrew, retired judge, and as you heard, I'm often called Papa Judge. But today I'm here in the capacity of offering a tribute to American veterans. What? A tribute to American veterans. I am a proud, decorated veteran of the Vietnam War and serving in the U.S. Army. My tribute to American veterans is based on the critical role that veterans play in our country. War is a major part of American history. Sure, in school, we've studied lots of wars, but not necessarily all of them that are recognized during various eras of American history. The Revolutionary War, 1775 through 1783. I don't think you can get out of school without having studied that one. The War of 1812. The Mexican-American War, the Spanish-American War, and then the major global impact of World War I. That was 1917 to 1918. But then the major one that just incorporated the goal of conquest of the entire globe, that's World War II, 1941 to 1945. Shortly after the Korean conflict, 1950 to 1953. The Vietnam War, which really was a protracted conflict that went on from the dominance by France, which was a period of 40 years, and then the U.S. entering in 1964, and declaring victory in 1975. There are a number of other wars, the Desert Shield, Desert Storm. They are characterized as Gulf Wars. The war in Afghanistan. There are two Iraq wars. The first Iraq War and the second Iraq War. And then the war in Syria. One war that is not listed in many research materials is what's called the Indian Wars. That was a fight for conquest of the territory that is now known as the United States. That conflict went on from 1817 to 1898 with, again, a declared victory. And that is because many Native Americans had been forced to reservations or had succumbed to disease, weapons, and guns. There are a number of military engagements, what's called the War on Terror, involving Somalia, Syria, and Yemen, 2001 through 2021. War on Drugs, the Russo-Ukrainian War, Gaza War, the Israel-Hezbollah conflict. And there are some wars that young veterans identify by their letters. Operation Enduring Freedom, OEF, and Operation Iraqi Freedom, OIF. Well, the reason for just pointing out those conflicts is that many people don't have a definition of what is it that creates this category called veterans. Well, the first thing is, having served in the U.S. military is what creates a veteran. So, in other words, the people who share in common the status of veteran are those who have, and actually I break it down with two elements. Number one, they have stepped forward. Number two, they have taken the oath to the U.S. Constitution. Now, there was a period of time that Americans were drafted. The point of that was that in 1940, there was a determination that there were not enough Americans in uniform. And so there was a draft instituted. And when you received the notice, you had to go. You were conscripted to serve in the military. Well, interestingly enough, there came a point in time when America determined that draft would not be used any longer, that there would be a voluntary military. And we have today voluntary military who then, when they end their service, are in fact veterans. The point of all of this is, even looking at the history of these conflicts, every nation needs defenders. And if the conflict is by military, they need military defenders. And the element of serving means that those individuals leave their home, leave their family, go to training and a duty assignment, which could be anywhere that the United States has jurisdiction. The draft basically included two years of service and approximately 6 years of reserve service or duty. At this point, with the volunteer military, each individual is agreeing to a term of service. So that could be as low as 2 years, but it probably is more around 4 years. And during that period of time, the person is committed to the U.S. Constitution and to serving where needed. That could be even in a time of tragedy, be it floods or tornadoes or forest fires or whatever, but where the protection, the defenders are needed, they are called upon. And in many instances, the reservist, and there are two categories, there are reservists who are U.S. Army reservists, and then, for example, there are National Guard who are serving in the capacity of being called up to regular duty. One of the questions that I have seen is, even in conversation, who are American veterans? One of the interesting things, if you look at a little bit of research, is in 2025, the U.S. Department of Defense gives notice that we have 16.5 million U.S. veterans. Now remember, even if a veteran enters at 19 or 20, they don't lose the status if their service in uniform ends 4 years later. They're still counted as veterans after that period of service and after discharge. So if you look at the numbers, the United States has 6% of its adult population that are qualified as veterans. So that means whether you're in the shopping center or the hardware, if you look around, one out of six people that you encounter is probably a veteran. Male, female, male and female who have served are considered veterans. Well, I commented just a few minutes ago about the fact that every nation needs defenders. As of October 2025, the United States population is 342,721,661 plus or minus citizens. So when we look at 16 plus million who have served, that's a substantial portion, but also they have in fact carried out the function of a veteran, which is to protect the population. Veterans often are shy about actually declaring their status. Many times it's difficult to get a veteran to tell you that they did serve, because they, in many instances, they think that's boasting in some way. And the reason for that is we have many citizens who apologize for not having served their country. Well, there are many reasons why people have not served. In many cases, they are physically or in other ways limited. Therefore, they can't serve. They couldn't successfully complete the training. They may not have the mental, emotional, or other conditions. They may have some physical limitation. All of those may be reasons, because even for the person who steps forth and volunteers, they must complete the training. That's one thing that everyone who has the status of veteran has in common. They went through training. In many instances, it may be fairly limited, because you can go through basic training, and that's simply how the military functions, all the way from what happens first thing in the morning, whether it's the sound of reveille or an officer or NCO telling everybody to wake up, but to the end of the day, how do you honor the flag? What happens if you are wearing what's called head cover by many veterans, but if you're wearing a hat or a cap or a helmet, you are expected to salute the flag and salute higher-ranking members of the military, which would include officers of various grades. The military is called on to serve with pride. And I think that in many instances, we have segments of the community that don't really understand why that's important. In my opinion, it's important to reinforce those who come, who at this point volunteer and are willing to serve, which may include giving their life in service to our country. Right now, 1.3 million soldiers, sailors, Marines, and Space Force, and all the various units are on active duty. And in addition to that, there are 836,000 reserve members in those different categories, reservist as well as National Guard, who are in the reserve capacity. And the U.S. Department of Defense uses the services of 770,000 civilians to carry out its responsibility for protecting the United States of America, its citizens, and its territory or jurisdiction. That's a total of 3.2 million human beings that are responsible for protecting our country and its interest. One of the reasons that I was very pleased to accept this offering of a tribute to veterans is because it's an amplified version of the thank you for your service that many veterans receive in a retail store, in a military medical facility, in encountering law enforcement. Thank you for your service. And I translate that on many occasions to the fact that for your service, we thank you. And the point that I'm trying to make there is that it's not abstract. It's for what you have done. Remember, many people who go into the military are not the rifleman, the artilleryman, the crew on a tank, because the military requires cooks, medics, signal people, pilots, administrators, in addition to the people who carry the weapons and carry out the actual armed confrontation. One of the things that's interesting in my own experience, my initial training was in Indiantown Gap, Pennsylvania. I then went to San Antonio for further training at the Medical Field Service Center, and went on to serve in Virginia at Newport News, Virginia, the Fort Eustis Army Hospital that was there. Well, the interesting thing about that is the training never stops. I got training in the U.S., and I continued to get training in Vietnam. But guess what? I wasn't the only one. Others continued to get training because the human dynamics, especially serving as a medic, the human dynamics keep changing and going to where you may need to know more than you knew yesterday. One of the limitations that a lot of people have is not being able to relate the training that's related to military service. For example, except for conscientious objectors in a very, very small or select group, everybody who goes through training has to learn how to fire a weapon. Even if you never use a weapon to fire at anyone in anger, you need to know what the weapons are and, if called upon, how to use them. So cooks know how to use weapons. So do many medics who are not conscientious objectors. So in other words, they're in a capacity where they're saying, I'm willing to defend myself or my unit, even though I'm not going to be an aggressor under the Geneva Convention. I'm not going to be going out trying to defeat an active military unit. The reason that that's so important is because veterans, no matter their particular job assignment, take those learned skills and responsibilities with them when they leave active duty. So you could have someone who served as a Signal Corps member, and they learn all kinds of things about electricity and broadcasting and so forth. There's no way that is taken from them when they are discharged from military service. So they can come out, and while in their work or career, they could be actually working as an electrician. There are those who could be working building things. The Army Corps of Engineers is responsible for the dams and rivers and canals and so forth of moving water in the United States. And so you have people who learned their skills, or I should say enhanced their skills, while on active duty. And when they leave active duty, they take that with them. And the entire country is benefited by that. The United States government was presented with a question at the end of World War II. There was an act of Congress that created the GI Bill. The GI Bill was a benefit program for those who had served in the United States military. And it started out focused on just educational basics. What do you need? Well, if you haven't finished high school, you need to finish high school. If you have ambitions of going on to college or to advanced degrees, then you need to be able to do that. But there was a uniform designation. You get service based on the fact that you were honorably discharged, and you get service in connection with your actual military time. So there were many, many soldiers who, as a result of the GI Bill, went to school. Now remember, at World War II, there were any number of soldiers who had just graduated from high school, but were drafted into military service because of this major conflict, this global conflict, and the fact that the U.S. needed them and needed their service. So, as it turned out, there were many, many soldiers who said, I want to utilize the GI Bill for additional training, preparation for career, or other benefit related to education. The U.S. government, to my disappointment, studied the result of the GI Bill in terms of the return. What was the benefit or the return to the United States for having invested in sending veterans to school? They studied that for a period of time, and unfortunately, the result was so high that some powerful people said, we don't need to study that anymore. Now, my personal opinion is the reason that they would have done that is because they didn't want to hear the argument that the GI Bill is a benefit that will, in fact, enhance recruitment into our military services. Interestingly, took place. The study ended. But there was never a rejection of the fact that the GI Bill is a benefit to U.S. soldiers. So what is happening today? So the military today uses GI Bill as a recruiting asset, and very, very large number of American veterans use the GI Bill to increase their education, their career success, and to be of greater value and contributions to our country and each of the communities in our country. So, obviously, I'm all in favor of the GI Bill. I used it to actually go to law school. So, you'll only hear me encouraging the recognition of the GI Bill and the value of the dedicated Americans who serve in our military and those who, as veterans, contribute to the welfare of our entire nation, from the neighbor next door to the city, the state, and to the entire country. So I am pleased that I am a veteran. There are many of my friends who did not successfully return from Vietnam, but I also acknowledge the fact that they were very special human beings who not only agreed to serve, but who served honorably and made the ultimate sacrifice. So today, why a tribute to veterans? Because it is right to give tribute to veterans, and I call on you, each of you who would hear this tribute, to find some veteran in your family, your household, your community, and tell them, I thank you for your service to our great country. And with that, I thank you for listening. I thank you for your actions in connection with the veterans that you know or encounter. And I thank you for loving our great country.
Come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees and pray all. They pray all. Ain't never look back once the war forgave you. She is silent.
Yeah, oh Lord, can you come and save her? Better believe they get on their knees and pray hard. They pray hard. Ain't never look bad once the world forgave.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.